So tonight, I'm going to talk about openness and living an open life in this world of ours. The name of the month, April, comes from the Latin aprio, to open up. And, of course, given that name because all of nature begins to open up during this month, flowers and buds and this sort of thing. I will take it as no insult of you, Yawn. And so I was thinking a lot about what it means to be open and the opposite, what it means to be defended in some way. Open to life or defended against life. And of course, as we all know, life can be difficult. Life can be painful. Experiences that we've all had more times than we care to remember. It's really our situation in this incarnation. We have these exquisitely designed mammalian bodies. And among other things, these bodies are really good at sensing any kind of pain or discomfort. You know, just a little pebble in our shoe or a wrinkle in the blanket that we're lying on, and we know it, you know. Our bodies are remarkable that way. And of course, these bodies come equipped with these remarkable psyches, which are also very sensitive, you know. And sometimes it takes just a word or a look or an eyebrow or something, you know, and we feel it. And so, of course, it's very much a common human experience that people get hurt at various points in life and then they decide to be less open. It's particularly true in early childhood, infancy, you know, toddler age, even early school age, we get hurt in various ways and we shut down. And often those are the trickiest things. In Buddhism, we talk a lot about the problem of expectations and trying to get rid of expectations and live without expectations. And of course, there are head expectations. You know, I'm going to have a conversation with so-and-so, and I think so-and-so is going to say this sort of thing. They're the kind of expectations, very explicit expectations that we concoct in our heads. But then there's a whole other level of expectations that we're not even aware that we're carrying it. But we're walking around with these sort of emotional expectations of what the world's going to be like. And as soon as we interact with a certain kind of situation or certain kind of people or someone who reminds us of someone else, suddenly we have these defenses up and we're acting from these, you might say acting from a past narrative, acting from expectations that we didn't even know we were carrying. And it's very human, and we all do it. So I'll say, think about it. How open are you to life? Ooh.
Let's open the door.
I guess we'll open the door for somebody. Better, exactly. I wonder who this is. Sometimes your ghost comes very late.
It's 7:30.
I think that's who it is. Because I wouldn't even think about coming if I couldn't meditate.
You'd always be welcome, Isabel.
I know, but like, Meditation is a drop, right? 40-minute juicy meditation. You don't get that everywhere.
That's true. That's true.
Even if I nap through it.
Did you pause it?
What's that?
Did you pause it?
No, we're just recording the pause.
Okay.
Maria!
Sorry to interrupt.
You're not interrupting at all. Welcome, Maria.
Thank you.
I was just thinking how lonely I was up here and I needed someone to come sit with me. And there you are.
Do you know what the little stool is worse? Like,
what's that?
Do you want one of these chairs?
Yeah.
The little stool was right out in the hallway.
Oh.
Maybe they put it back in the...
Thank you, sorry.
When you say stool?
What?
Yeah, Jennifer might have moved it back into the small room.
The small room is locked, though.
Yeah.
Do you mind if I move it?
No, go ahead.
Thank you. Legs in your butt, are you good?
Yes, thank you. I can move, too.
So we're talking about openness.
Yes. Right.
So I'll ask a few questions and just notice how these land in your body. Notice what comes up when you hear these questions. Are you open to life or are you defended against life? And notice that the answer is different in different parts of your body, even. You know? Are you open or defended around issues of money and supporting yourself? Are you open or defended around issues of love, romance, sexuality? Are you open or defended around issues of self-worth or self-deserving? You know, and again, just to notice, no judgment. We all have all kinds of defenses around these very sensitive issues. You know, there's absolutely nothing wrong with you if you discover you have some defenses around these things. And the first step is just to notice the ways that we're not open to life. And life, incidentally, is particularly good at letting us know the ways that we're not open by shoving those things in our face, you know. Life is very compassionate that way. And so what's the problem of being not open or being defended? Well, first of all, and especially being defended against life or defended against some aspect of our own vitality, insofar as we're blocked from it, we're blocking ourselves from some of our primary nourishment, some of the primary nourishment of what it is to be in this world. And of course, any way that we're defended against others, then we're blocked from connection, which is another thing that brings us tremendous fulfillment. It's so funny. It's almost as if there's a part of us that, how can I say it? Part of us that so wants to avoid the uncertainty of maybe getting hurt that it would rather settle for like certain pain than the uncertainty of pain. You know, it's very strange. And I don't really know, I mean, reflecting certainly on you know, what I've discovered about my own deep inner defenses, it's not really clear to me that they save me from much of anything, you know? I mean, life is hard no matter what, you know? And it's not like the deep defenses we carry around against life are really doing that much to keep us safe. It's a funny thing about pain. Pain, I would say, is the great internal PR agency. It's the great internal propagandist. Mm-hmm. And if we've been hurt in one way, then the pain starts sending this message, you know, oh, that thing's always going to hurt you. Oh, it's always going to be the worst. It's always going to be the worst. You know, and to some extent, it's important not to get sucked in by the message, you know, and because it's the type of thing where if just left to its own devices, it starts to claim more and more over time, like, you know, whole categories of things become unsafe. So just to be aware of that. Just be aware how the voice of pain is not necessarily the voice of truth or even necessarily the voice of our best interests. And it's certainly true that the more we open, especially the more we open to my, the more I open to myself, the more I'm able to live in my heart, the more I'm able to connect with my own vitality, there's tremendous satisfaction that comes from living that way. And again, tremendous, you might say, nourishment, just the nourishment of what it is to be alive and to be connected to the energy of life. And there's also this mystery that as we open to life, life opens to us. There's a poem by David White that begins with the lines, "When your eyes are tired, the world is tired too. When your vision has gone, no part of the world can find you." And so part of being open is this ability to sense possibility and to sense wonder. And there's all kinds of doors that suddenly become, as it were, visible to us when we're not, you know, looking up for the next way that we might get hurt or something like that. There's a quote I want to read from the Tao Te Ching. I have a quote sheet tonight, of course.
Yay!
And it refers to the Tao in this passage as the great symbol. "She who holds the great symbol will attract all things. They flock to her and receive no harm, for in her they find peace, security, and happiness." You might say this is one of the earliest statements of what the New Age people call the law of attraction, written in the 5th century BC. So I'll also read this poem. I guess I should hand this out if I'm going to read off this sheet. This is another poem by David White called "The Opening of Eyes." "That day, I saw beneath dark clouds the passing light over the water, and I heard the voice of the world speak out. I knew then, as I had before, life is no passing memory of what has been, nor the remaining pages in a great book waiting to be read. It is the opening of eyes long closed. It is the vision of far-off things seen for the silence they hold. It is the heart, after years of secret conversing, speaking out loud in the clear air. It is Moses in the desert, fallen to his knees before the lit bush. It is the man throwing away his shoes as if to enter heaven and finding himself astonished, open at last, fallen in love with solid ground." Just some wonderful images of being open and the process of opening up in that poem. I love the images of Moses. You know, the traditional story is that Moses goes on top of Mount Sinai and suddenly he sees a burning bush and you know, bushes catch on fire all the time in the desert, but the thing that was special about this bush is it was burning but not being consumed. And he sees the burning bush, and then he hears, you know, God's voice, you know, "Moses, take off your shoes. You are on sacred ground," you know. And, and there's many ways to look at that. One way is that it was a kind of breakthrough experience where he started seeing the energy of things. And of course, when you see the energy of something, you're seeing a luminance, you know, as if it's on fire, you know. And it's almost as if it was with that awareness, an awareness that the earth itself, all of it, was sacred, you know, and that to stand on any ground is a sacred thing, a sacred act. Thich Nhat Hanh has a wonderful line, you know, we think the miracle is to walk on water, but the true miracle is really to walk on the earth. So I'll just read through the rest of the quotes here. From the great philosopher emperor Marcus Aurelius: "If someone is able to show me that what I think or do is not right, I will happily change, for I seek the truth, by which no one was ever truly harmed. It is the person who continues in his self-deception and ignorance who is harmed." A few from Rumi. Rumi's a good one on this particular topic. "Your task is not to seek love, but merely to seek and find all the barriers within yourself that you have built against it." And another one from Rumi: "Grief can be the garden of compassion. If you keep your heart open through everything, your pain can become your greatest ally in your life's search for love and wisdom." From the man who gave us the scientific method, Sir Francis Bacon: "They are ill discoverers that think there is no land when they can see nothing but sea." That one is profound. Like, when we can't see the possibilities, like the part of us that wants to shut down immediately, "Oh, it's not going to work, it's not going to work." From Oliver Wendell Holmes Sr.: "Every now and then a man's mind is stretched by a new idea or sensation and never shrinks back to its former dimensions." The great Henry David Thoreau: "It is never too late to give up your prejudices." From Emily Dickinson: "Not knowing when the dawn will come, I open every door." That's a beautiful line. From the poet Theodore Rocha: "Those who are willing to be vulnerable move among mysteries." Isaac Asimov tells us: "Your assumptions are your windows on the world. Scrub them off every once in a while, or the light won't come in." From a very intelligent and wise man, Malcolm X: "Despite my firm convictions, I have always been a man who tries to face facts and to accept the reality of life as new experience and new knowledge unfolds it. I have always kept an open mind, which is necessary to the flexibility that must go hand in hand with every form of intelligent search for truth." From the Christian theologian Henry Nouwen: "Each day holds a surprise, but only if we expect it can we see, hear, or feel it when it comes to us. Let's not be afraid to receive each day's surprise, whether it comes to us as sorrow or as joy. It will open a new place in our hearts, a place where we can welcome new friends and celebrate more fully our shared humanity." Bob Marley says quite simply, "Open your eyes, look within. Are you satisfied with the life you're living?" Deepak Chopra tells us very simply, "The less you open your heart to others, the more your heart suffers." Very simple. Saraban Brucknath says, "Whatever we are waiting for, peace of mind, contentment, grace, the inner awareness, the simple abundance, it surely will come to us, but only when we are ready to receive it with an open and grateful heart." Swami Chetananda tells us, let your heart be as big as it possibly can be. Very simple. Songwriter Sarah McLachlan says, there's beauty everywhere. There are amazing things happening everywhere. You just have to be able to open your eyes and witness it. Some days, that's harder than others. Quite true. And from Marnie Grundman, keep your heart wide open and you'll be received with open hearts. Not by everybody, but to be received by one open heart is more than worth the journey.